How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
We'll share this time. Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz have advanced to the second round for the first time in 7 years. I apologize. I did not put my phone on mute, and my text messages are flying in from people around the league. This is awesome.
It's totally awesome. I mean, this is a great feeling. I mean, making the playoffs was special. Now getting to the second round is just totally awesome. I mean, this is, you know, did we think we could get here at the beginning of the year? Really didn't know, but here we are.
Big picture for a second. I have always said that when you talk about success, everyone talks championships, but all you really can do is get yourself into the final four of your conference, hope you get a matchup you like, hope you get a twisted ankle if you don't have a matchup. Like, you just got to get yourself into the final four of your conference, and the Jazz are there. It's an enormous accomplishment.
It's a huge accomplishment, especially considering, I mean, just think back at the beginning of the year, the number of injuries and Rudy goes down in the first game of the playoffs, and automatically you're thinking, okay, we don't have a shot at it. The Jazz play one of their better playoff games of the year and win that first ball game and gets home court advantage after winning that. I mean, the ups and downs and the many ebbs and flows of what happened just here in the playoffs, you know, just that's why you keep fighting. That's why that message on the blackboard or the whiteboard or whatever they call it now, compete. I mean, that's all you can do, you know, and the Jazz did a great job at it.
The story today is, it's almost appropriate to be in L.A. I decided on the broadcast to not go down that cliche route. But there is a movie element to Derek Favors being the key player on the year in which he probably is the most miserable year of his career. Injured, watching the position that was supposed to be his, you know, as the big man on this team go away to Rudy Gobert, and never being able to seemingly get healthy, seemingly just kind of the forgotten man. He's the key guy. He might be the MVP of this playoff series. Because with Rudy going out in game one, he contributes to the win in one. He could get you the win in three. He, with incredible defense at times. And then tonight, or today, I mean, he's just the best player on the floor for a large part of the game.
Yeah, you're talking about Rudy.
No, I'm talking about Derek.
Derek, okay. Now, Derek is gives you something different than Rudy was able to give you, and I totally agree. In the process of trying to get his game together, I mean, this was a struggle for him. This has been a struggle for him all season long. And keeping his head and still working very, very hard, knowing that, you know, he was the kind of player that could make a difference, especially in this series. And so if you want to pick a most valuable player in this game, I'm going to say it's Rudy Gobert.
Wait, Derek Favors, you mean?
No, Rudy Gobert.
Oh, because he got
into foul trouble. Derek Favors
right
on the floor.
You said this at the end of the broadcast. It was a great point. Derek's better for this matchup. Why?
Well, because of the way they want to defense the Jazz. And that little mid-range jump shot is very, very important. Rudy can't make that. So they did not prepare for anything like that. And then the fact that Derek wasn't really having that great of a year or even that great of a playoff.
He was one of 10 on shots outside 8 feet coming into the game.
And there you go. That's a number that I'm really proud of you for coming up with.
All right. Quinn Snyder did some things today, some out of necessity, but some maybe they're a signature of this team. Jeff Withey gave him a few minutes. Dante Exum gave him really good 7 minutes, 50 seconds. He tried Neto, and it was actually obvious.
Yeah.
Immediately that this game did not match Neto. So then he got 3 minutes and 15 seconds out of Mac, and then he went without a point guard. I mean, Quinn had an incredible game and an incredible series.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, though, and I really wonder if this was a game plan or was this moves out of necessity? Was this something he was just doing on the fly and really thinking minutes, thinking time, situations. I think that's probably the better word. Situations for certain players that could help you, and in the meantime, trying to give certain guys rest out there on the floor. Whatever the case, it was very tasteful. technicians.
The one thing we always want out of Gordon Hayward is to be that all-star, to take over the game, to dominate. And he was 2 of 7. I thought he had a good first half. He had 9 points. He was 2 of 7 in the first half. And then in about a three-play sequence, he did exactly what you'd want a superstar to do. He just took over the game for a blink. He's not a guy who hijacks possessions from teammates. If you double-team him, he will pass. But in a key sequence of this game, he went whap, 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 and a three from the right side pretty much toasted this game.
And you know, I was looking back at my scorebook. You know, I keep a running score of all the players, and I'm looking back at Gordon in the second half throughout this series has come on strong in every ballgame. And he did that again tonight. As you mentioned, what did he have at the half? 7. He didn't even score in the second quarter. And then he comes back and ends up with 26 points here, you know, for the ballgame. So he has been coming on very, very strong in the second half. And I agree with you, he does not, as you call it, hijack. And he does not go away from the play that often. But, you know, sometimes your superstar has to do that. You know?
The other one is that Dennis Lindsay went out in the offseason. He went and acquired 3 guys who had won playoff series, who had Game 7 experience. Joe Johnson played in his 8th Game 7 today. George Hill played in his 5th. Boris Diaw played in his 7th. And you could tell, they were all so good today and so solid.
And patient. I think that is such a key. And I know we use Joe Johnson as an example, and we talk about him often. But, boy, he is just so patient out there on the floor, seemed to make the right pass and not in a hurry, knows how much time is on the clock. He played 30 minutes tonight. If you look at the guys that spent the most time on the floor, you know, Derek Favors ended up getting almost 30 minutes there. But Gordon plays 42. And you knew that Doc Rivers was going to try to keep Chris Paul on the floor as long as possible. He ended up playing 40. But this was a do-or-die game. So you had to keep certain players out there on the floor long enough to try to win this game.
Well, 43 for Hayward, 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. He was fabulous. The whole group was. Incredible accomplishment. Tip of the hat to the players. I wish there was a way to explain to you all the work this coaching staff puts in and what they did. Just remarkable.
And one more point. We said we're going to track points in the paint. 56-46 in favor of the Jazz. There was only one game that a team won that did not score more points in the paint, and that was the Clippers in Salt Lake City the last time these two teams met.
All right, let's go to the Bay Area. Jazz, Warriors, Game 1 on Tuesday. This has been Postcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.